Commissioners and FTC staff, thank you for inviting me here today and giving me the opportunity to present my research at this hearing. I'm going to discuss one of the hearing's principal topics, whether companies can use improved privacy performance for competitive advantage. To address this topic, I need first to slightly reframe it. The question should not just be whether companies can use improved privacy performance to achieve competitive advantage, but whether they can use more responsible data practices writ large to do so, including issues of bias, procedural fairness, and manipulation. Some companies are doing this, and they have a name for this broader project. They call it data ethics. I'm currently leading an Ohio State research project that is studying corporate data ethics, and today I'm going to share with you the preliminary findings from this research. And I will address four questions. One, what is data ethics? Two, why are companies engaging in it? Three, how are companies trying to achieve it? And four, what does this mean for the FTC's regulatory authorities? I was led to this topic a couple of years ago when, at a roundtable discussion, I heard the chief privacy officer for a large company say that her department was debating what was ethical to do with data and what was not ethical to do with it. And this surprised me. She was a chief privacy officer. Why wasn't she worrying about compliance with privacy laws? And when I began to hear about other companies engaged in the same activity, I thought it would be interesting to study this phenomenon. I put together a terrific team of colleagues, faculty colleagues, from the schools of business and computer science, philosophy, and sociology. And together, we decided to use three methods to try to address this question: a literature review, expert interviews, and a broad survey of companies that use big data analytics. So today I'm going to present our preliminary findings, but first I need to make two caveats. One, we have completed the literature review and we're midway through the interviews, but we have not done our survey as of yet. So this truly is preliminary findings. We're still in the midst of the study. Second, our interviews focus on corporate managers at large companies, so we're not getting a comprehensive view of corporate America, nor necessarily are we getting a fully objective view. That said, I think we have been getting some valuable information that I'll try and share with you today. So, as told to us by those that we interviewed, the story starts with big data analytics and its sister technologies, machine learning and artificial intelligence. Now, it's well known that these technologies can create many benefits, some of which we have heard about already today. But what the companies told us is that they also produce important risks. And they identified four types of risks. Risks of privacy violation, such as when Target used predictive analytics to infer from customer purchasing histories whether its female customers were pregnant. Risks of bias, as when Amazon recently discovered that the artificial intelligence application it hoped to use to sort through the thousands of resumes that it received was systematically discriminating against women. And Amazon caught that problem and decided not to use that AI application. Risks of procedural unfairness, as when black box algorithms, which are not subject to explanation or appeal, are used to inform decisions about whether to grant loans or jobs or housing. And risks of exploitation or manipulation, such as when Cambridge Analytica used Facebook users' data to infer the psychological types of those users and target them with political ads that they would find hard to resist. As the companies see it, these potential harms threaten not just the individuals in question, but also the reputation of the companies themselves. And this creates an urgent issue for these companies, which is how to reduce these risks. As one corporate manager put it to us, if data use has much more impact, then you need a governance structure to help manage the impact of that data use to make sure the organization doesn't create more risk for itself. Now, traditionally, companies have mitigated digital risk by complying with privacy laws. But, and this is a key point, big data analytics renders that insufficient, and it does so for two main reasons. First of all, the risks that I just mentioned start with privacy, but they go well beyond it to bias, procedural unfairness, and manipulation. So privacy law is not going to be sufficient to address that. Second, privacy law is premised on the idea that, given accurate notice, individuals can make choices about what companies can do with their data. And so by making such choices, individuals can protect themselves. But big data analytics changes this. It allows companies to take surface data and infer latent information from it. For example, it allows Target to take customer purchasing histories of its female customers and infer whether they are pregnant. Given this ability to infer latent data from surface information, people cannot know what they are really revealing when they decide to hand over the surface information. And as a result, they cannot use notice and choice to protect themselves, at least when it comes to big data analytics, machine learning, and AI. From the company's perspective, this means that if they're going to protect individuals against the risk that these technologies pose, and so protect their own reputations, they have to do more than comply with privacy law. They have to ensure that their practices are also ethical. So here's what one lawyer who advises such companies said to us. Preying on vulnerable populations, treating people unfairly, manipulating people in ways that could harm them. There's some of that stuff that's perfectly legal, but it still may not be a good business decision. I'll throw out the word ethics. It's not the ethical thing to do. Some companies that I work with, they take that stuff very, very seriously. They don't want to do things that feel or could be perceived as unethical. Now, some, including some of our colleagues in Europe, see data ethics as an attempt to take Kantian or Aristotelian or other ethical philosophies and use them to govern advanced data practices. But that's not what we saw these companies doing. For them, data ethics is beyond compliance risk mitigation for the big data economy, hence the title of my talk today. So that's what data ethics is. Why do companies seek to achieve it when existing law does not require them to do so? We identified three principal motivations: reputation, employee retention, and the threat of regulation. I've already mentioned reputation, but the companies tell a more nuanced story about it. There's reputation among customers and users. This is essential to preserve the bonds of trust on which the flow of personal data depends. As one company manager said to us, if you act ethically and ensure that data use is ethical and you're fully accountable for that, then your brand is trustworthy. That's what we're all trying to achieve. Then there's reputation among regulators and advocates, and a poor reputation among these constituencies can lead to increased scrutiny and litigation. And finally, and this is the one that surprised us a bit, there's reputation among your business partners. A lawyer for one technology company saw this as the most important aspect, since other businesses are able to do due diligence in ways that individuals cannot and will not work with companies that don't pass muster. Employee retention was a third major driver. Tech companies in particular expressed that competition for young engineers is fierce and is critical to corporate success, and that companies need to align their actions with these young people's values in order to retain them. The third driver we saw was the threat of regulation. Some companies believed that if they took proactive steps to act responsibly, they would reduce the chance of direct regulation, data ethics as a way to preempt direct regulation. Others, with an eye on the GDPR and other rules, saw data ethics not so much as a way to avoid regulation, but as a way to prepare for it. They felt that if they aligned their products and systems in advance, they would be able to deal with such regulations more effectively and at less cost than their competitors. So with each of these drivers, reputation, employee retention, threat of regulation, companies are seeking a form of competitive advantage. And thus our research suggests that corporate data ethics represents a new form of competition in the algorithmic society, one that goes beyond just competing on privacy attributes. One leading privacy professional put it this way: I think that for some of these companies, they've actually seen data stewardship as a competitive differentiator, and that they are more trustworthy and people are more likely to do business with them and therefore pay higher prices. I should add that several interviewees expressed that their company's values were also very important in driving their data ethics initiatives, and that was particularly true where a CEO or a founder had instilled those values particularly strongly. So that can also be a motivator. Now, we've looked at the what and the why of data ethics. The next question is the how. Here, it's helpful to divide this into two areas, process and substance. In terms of process, one of the really interesting developments that we found is the transformation of the privacy officer role into a role that included not only privacy, but also issues of bias and procedural unfairness and manipulation. Reflecting this, some companies changed the title of the position to include the word ethics or data ethics in it. This is a new development that has just arisen, we think, within the last year. But it could soon be common to have a chief data ethics officer to go along with your CIO or your CISO or your CPO. Another interesting development was the creation of new committees to advise the companies on ethics. Some created internal committees, sometimes called an ethics review committee, to review data analytics projects that raised ethical risks. Such committees could include representatives from legal, privacy, security, engineering, and the affected business unit. And we saw instances in which such a committee advised against certain projects and the companies turned down significant contracts on this basis. Other companies ran their ethical questions by external committees, sometimes called external advisory boards, that might include privacy and consumer advocates or members of civil rights and civil liberties groups or academics. In contrast to the internal boards, these served in purely an advisory role and helped to sensitize the company to stakeholder concerns. There was quite a bit of variety in the way the companies managed in this area. For example, they differed on the scope of their ethics management activities. Some focused on the company's own internal research with customers, personal information. Others expanded the scope to include not only their own activities, but also those of data suppliers, customers, and business partners, anyone whose ethical lapses could be linked to them. I practiced and taught environmental law before I turned to data and privacy, and these programs reminded me of the way in which some companies audit the environmental performance of their entire supply chain, a process they call greening the supply chain. Companies also diverged in terms of management structures and reporting systems. Some localized the ethics function in a single person who had a direct line of communication to the C-suite or the CEO. Others had a far more elaborate process in which all data projects had to be submitted for review. As we understood it, the first seemed to produce faster decisions, the second, better quality decisions. So there's a trade-off here. Turning from process to substance, we sought to identify the standards that companies employ to assess whether a given data analytics project is ethical or not. The literature suggests that companies employ or should employ formal principles grounded in philosophies of ethics. For example, the Software and Information Industry Association Mark McCarthy works with, and he was here today, they draw on such ethical traditions and published a report that articulated four core principles: rights, justice, welfare, and virtue that companies should follow when making decisions about ethics. The companies we talked to were not using any such formal framework. What we saw was far more intuitive. One manager referred to the, quote, fairness check, which the manager described as, would my mother think this is okay? Would I want this to happen to my kid? Do I feel good about this personally? Another employs the ear test, saying the ear test simply means to me, does that sound right? Does that sound like a bad idea? Do the words coming out of your mouth make sense from both the legal, ethical, and business standpoint? So these companies are using much more intuitive, expectation-based standards rather than formal, philosophical ones. Such standards fit with the idea mentioned earlier that companies are seeking not to implement an ethical philosophy, but rather to engage in beyond compliance risk mitigation. In this sense, data ethics is a new dimension of corporate social responsibility. It is CSR for the data-driven business. Responsibility, appropriateness, trustworthiness, fairness, these seem to be the currency of data ethics. Now, these can be difficult concepts to operationalize, and some companies seem to really struggle with drawing these lines. The hardest question seems to be how to get the balance right, how to determine, considering the potential benefits and risks, what is fair and what is not. As one attorney said to us, when do these lines get crossed? That's not always obvious. What does all this mean for a regulator like the FTC? Well, when you step back from what we've learned so far, you really see two things. You see a pretty clear consensus among the larger, more sophisticated companies, at least, that it's important to go beyond compliance and seek to mitigate the risks that big data analytics can pose. So there's quite a bit of agreement on the what and the why. But the how question is much more murky. Companies are experimenting with many management processes and trying to figure out which will be more effective. And there's some confusion as to how to draw the line between responsible and irresponsible behaviors. I mentioned that I came to privacy from the environmental field, and this situation reminds me in some ways of that which environmental regulators faced when companies started to compete seriously in terms of their environmental performance, which is known as green business. One thing that environmental regulators did, and that the FTC could do, is to collect and share best practices in this area as a way of getting more companies to adopt them. Another would be to adopt a leadership program that recognizes companies that are going above and beyond in this area, and so add to the reputational value they derive from doing so. A third would be to define some standards in this area. Now, I would caution against doing this with respect to process. There seems to be a lot of positive experimentation going on, and regulators may want to let that play out before determining that one approach is preferable to another. But it may be worth giving this further thought with respect to drawing the substantive lines. Were a regulator to provide some guidance, that could give companies a clearer sense of what the regulator's expectations are and help them to make some of the tough calls. It could also set a floor that all companies have to pay attention to. Right now, we're seeing the larger, more sophisticated companies start to manage data ethics. But other companies that are not paying attention to these issues could do some really bad things that could not only hurt people, but could also turn the public against data analytics, machine learning, and AI more generally. As one attorney said to us, in this fast-paced world where there's, you know, huge financial opportunity for companies, you can easily see scenarios where someone's going to, quite frankly, bring down the whole house of cards by doing something just totally unethical and totally unfair and screw it for the rest of the industry. Seen in this light, a regulator's decision to set a floor for fair and ethical behavior could potentially support the efforts of the current leaders while still giving them room to distinguish themselves. If the FTC wanted to develop such substantive guidelines, rules of the road for predictive analytics, it seems to me that it has the power to do so. The line that companies are trying to draw is between advanced analytics that is appropriate and that which is inappropriate, between that which is responsible and that which is irresponsible, between that which is fair and that which is unfair. Section 5 of the FTC Act, of course, gives the Commission the power to define unfair business acts or practices and so to draw these lines. The FTC's unfairness authority has some useful features in this regard. Unfairness is an open and flexible standard intended to adapt to emerging and changing technologies and business models. It requires the Commission to balance benefits and costs, which is important in an area like big data analytics that offers many benefits as well as many risks. And unfairness is intended precisely for those situations in which individuals cannot protect themselves, where, in the language of Section 5N, the injuries are not reasonably avoidable by the consumers themselves. That is where we are with respect to advanced analytics. Individuals cannot understand how these technologies work, and so cannot use traditional privacy protections, notice and choice, to protect themselves. Some companies are moving proactively to protect them. The FTC could potentially use its own unfairness authority to support this corporate data ethics effort. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts and research with you today.